God. Amen. Let's turn to Luke chapter 1. Thank God for the Word. Luke, the first chapter, verse number 5. I'm going to read a long passage here. Luke 1, verse number 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense, which he went when he went into the temple of the Lord. Verse 10. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside as the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." Excuse me. "And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah," go before Jesus, the Messiah, "to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Verse 18, "And Zacharias said to the angel, 'How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years.' And the angel answered and said to him, 'I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time.' And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house." Verse 24. "Now after these things, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, 'Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked upon me to take away my reproach among people.' Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' When she heard him, she was troubled at the saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus.'" Matthew 1:21 says it this way, "And you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." That's the story of Christmas. God sent his son Jesus to save us from our sins. Reading on in verse number 32, "And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country in haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of these things which were told her from the Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I love everything about the Christmas story, don't you? I mean, I really do. And as we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, always remembering that He came to die on the cross for our sins. But you know, in this story, there are fulfilled prophecies, miracles, signs, wonders, angelic visitations. I mean, what's not to like? Amen. Ultimately and finally, it's the consummation of God's great plan of redemption and the story of our salvation. Praise God. And so there are many interesting things to notice in these few verses, and I just want to point some things out to you here. Read verse number 28 again, Luke 1:28. When the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, he said, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you." King James says, "Thou art highly favored." New King James, "Rejoice, highly favored one." It's very interesting that the words, the English words, "highly favored," in the Greek, that's just one word. Translated "highly favored," that's one Greek word. That is found one other place in the New Testament, and that's in Ephesians 1, verse number 6, where it says, "God has made us accepted in the Beloved." The words "has made us accepted" is that same Greek word, one single word, translated "has made us accepted" in 1 Ephesians 1:6, translated "highly favored" in Luke 1:28. Same Greek word, "highly favored," "made us accepted." The Greek word here, translated "highly favored," found in Luke and also found in Ephesians, is charis, charis. You know what charis is, don't you? That's grace. Amen, grace. Charis is grace, which means that God, you know, His grace is a free gift that has blessed us, that has caused us to be benefited, that has shown kindness to us, that has caused us to be favored and made acceptable to Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth. Praise God. So Ephesians 1 says God has made us accepted in the Beloved. If you'll notice in your Bible, almost all translations have this, the word "beloved" is a capital B, capital B. The Beloved is the Lord Jesus Christ. God has made us accepted in the Beloved. God has accepted us in Christ. Or you could easily read this, God has highly favored us and blessed us in the Beloved, in Christ Jesus. Amen. People say that all the time, but it's true. Say it out loud. Say, "I'm highly favored and blessed." It's true. It's true. And it's free. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So because you put this all together again, and like I just said, in Christ, the Beloved, anyone that has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior is born again. They are said to be in Christ. So anybody that's born again, anybody that's in Christ is highly favored by God and accepted by, you are accepted by Almighty. There's no such thing as you ever being rejected because you're accepted by God Himself. I don't care if your parents hated you, you're not rejected, you're accepted because God Himself accepts you. God, Almighty God, the Creator of the universe, the Creator of heaven and earth, has graced you, has blessed you, has shown kindness to you, and has shown you tremendous favor, and has accepted you in the Beloved. We're accepted in the Beloved. We're forgiven. We're made righteous. Amen. Ephesians 1:4 says, "In Him," that is in Christ, "you are without blame." Messes with your old carnal mind, doesn't it? But in Christ, if you're born again, you're in Christ because of what Jesus did for you, not because of what you could do. You could do nothing. Apart from Christ, you are a wicked, evil, rotten sinner. Incapable of being pleasing to God, incapable of being acceptable to the Lord. But in Christ, we are blameless. Amen, blameless. Colossians 1:22 says, "In His sight, we are blameless." You know, a person that's blameless is without blame. Thank God I'm without blame in Christ. I said in Christ, not in myself, but in Christ I am without blame. Glory to God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. It means you are innocent. And in God's mind, and that's the only one that matters, by the way. In reality, because we have been washed in the blood of Jesus, we are accepted in the Beloved. We are highly favored, and we are blameless. We are not guilty. We are innocent before Almighty God. How could it possibly be? Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Amen. You know, the Bible says we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. And in Ephesians 2:10, it says we are His workmanship. If you're born again, you're His, God's. You are God's workmanship. In other words, He created you. He designed you. Created in Christ Jesus. And God didn't make any unworthy believers. God didn't make any useless, weak, pathetic, worthless believers. So don't ever belittle God's workmanship by belittling yourself. God has made us righteous. And there is now, the Bible says in Romans 8:1, right now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Can you say amen? Amen. Somebody says, yeah, but I don't feel blameless. I don't feel righteous. Well, tell your feelings to shut up. How do you like that theology? Amen. Feelings don't have anything to do with it. Almighty God Himself says you are blameless and innocent and not guilty. Amen. Praise God. Highly favored and accepted. Glory to God. I like this quote I was reading last week just in my regular study. I was reading the book of Philemon. Well, you know, when Paul wrote to Philemon, what has happened is Philemon had a slave called Onesimus. And Onesimus, you know, it was a serious crime in those days. He escaped slavery, and he evidently he stole from Philemon when he escaped. Well, he met up with Paul, you know, and he got saved and converted. So Paul's writing back to Philemon and saying, receive him back as a brother in the Lord. Amen. And he says, whatever debt he has incurred, Paul said, I will pay the debt. So just having that background, just listen to this, because I think this is really good, from Warren Wiersbe. He said, this is to me an illustration of what Jesus Christ has done for us believers. God's people are so identified with Jesus Christ that God receives them as He receives His Son. God receives you just like He receives Jesus. We are accepted in the Beloved and clothed in His righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21. We certainly cannot approach God with any merit of our own, but God must receive us when we come to Him in Jesus Christ. The word receive in Philemon 1:17 means to receive into one's family circle. Imagine a slave becoming a part of the master's family, but imagine a guilty sinner entering into God's family. Praise God. Paul did not suggest that Philemon ignore the slave's crimes and forget about the debt Onesimus owed. Rather, Paul offered to pay the debt himself. Put it to my account. I will repay it. The language in Philemon 19 sounds like a legal promissory note of that time. This was Paul's assurance to his friend that his debt would be paid. It takes more than love to solve the problem. Love must pay a price. God does not save us by love, for though He loves the whole world is not saved. God saves sinners by His grace, and grace is love that pays a price. God in His holiness could not ignore the debt that we owe. For God must be faithful to His own law, so He paid the debt for us, and He accepted us in the Beloved. Oh, we understand, and you must keep in mind, there's a difference between being accepted in Christ and acceptable to Christ. Anyone who trusts Jesus Christ for salvation is accepted. But the believer must strive with God's help to be acceptable. In other words, he must grow and mature and so forth. But here's the real point, this one little paragraph I want you to see. He paid the debt for us. Theologians call this the doctrine of imputation. To impute means to put it back on the account. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, my sins were put on His account. And He was treated the way I should have been treated. When I trusted Him as my Savior, His righteousness was put into my account. And now God accepts me in Jesus Christ. Jesus said to the Father, He no longer owes you a debt because I paid it fully on the cross. Receive Him just as you would receive me. Let Him come into the family circle. Can you say amen? Oswald Chambers said, the way we constantly talk about our own inabilities is an insult to the Creator. We are created in His workmanship. We are righteous. We are blameless. We are accepted in the Beloved. The way we continually talk about our inabilities is an insult to the Creator. To complain over our incompetence is to accuse God falsely of having overlooked us. And I would add this, to act like the blood of Jesus hasn't made me blameless and righteous and acceptable in His sight is an insult to God and His Son. And this is so important. This is so important because listen to me carefully. Most Christian psychiatrists and even non-Christian psychiatrists say today that, I hate to make absolutes here, but a lot, the root cause of a lot of unholy behavior and addictions is shame and guilt. But there is no shame and there is no guilt in Christ Jesus. And when we believe that and receive that and act like it's true, then it changes our outward behavior. And this is also important because, listen carefully, people who try to earn right standing and favor and blamelessness, righteousness with God by their own good conduct and obedience to the law and to the rules of man, instead of trusting what Jesus did for them, always, always feel worthy and condemned. Certainly it's true. See, apart from Jesus, we don't ever measure up. Amen. But you see, if you look at yourself apart from Christ and you don't accept that you're forgiven, that you're blameless in Christ and you're righteous in Christ, you'll have a sin consciousness. You'll think you're unworthy, undeserving of the blessings of God, and you will not have any boldness. You will not have any confidence. Let me give you another word. You will not have any faith. Faith is how you receive from God. Faith is how you receive answers to prayer. By faith, faith is how you obtain the promises. But you won't boldly expect God to do anything for you if you feel like you don't deserve it and you're just an unworthy bum. Amen. Unholy and blameless in His sight. Amen. So it's so important that we understand this. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. You didn't know all that was in the Christmas story, did you? And then here's something else I get from there. Here's something else I noticed about this just this year, you know, in looking at this. That's very interesting. Here's something that's very current events and relevant to our society right now today. Read again Luke 1, 39 and 41. Now Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and greeted the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Just 3 weeks ago, 3 weeks back, one of our very liberal Supreme Court justices said, you know, because you know, you have to understand today that the people that believe in abortion, they're under a little pressure today. Because they're always saying, look at the science, look at the science, look at the science. Well, the science between the initial Roe v. Wade versus today is quite obvious that a fetus has moves in the womb and is alive. I mean, the science of that is overwhelming. And so, you know, you got to come up with something to deal with that because they're always saying, believe in the science, believe in the science. Well, this liberal Supreme Court justice said, you know, the reason that babies move in the womb, the reason they react to pain and so forth, they're not alive. That doesn't mean they're alive. This justice said, these people are just like brain dead people. She said, brain dead people, every doctor in the world knows if somebody is brain dead, they are brain, but you can stick a pin in their toe and their body will jump. But they're not alive, they're dead. And she said, that's exactly the way it is with a fetus. They're not alive. Well, I think you got to be about half brain dead to believe that. I think that this justice's views scientifically are absurd. John leaped at the womb of Elizabeth because she heard the voice of Mary, the mother of Jesus. But it's even better than that. Look at verse 44. For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. The baby leaped for joy. Glory to God. Brain dead people don't leap for joy. I promise you. People without life don't express joy. Glory to God. Only those who have an agenda and zero respect for the Bible would call a baby, a fetus in the womb, a non-human without life. Present-day science proves it, but whether we have, this is just one scripture, but we have proof from the Word of God itself. Amen. Now here's something else. Here's something else from the Christmas story I want to point out to you. Amen. Last thing. Between Malachi... That doesn't mean it'll be short, but last thing. between Malachi and the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, spiritually, not a whole lot has happened. Been 400 years between the end of Malachi and the New Testament. Not a whole lot. There are people that love the Lord and serve God and so forth, but nothing is recorded for us. You know, people sometimes read the Maccabees, but, you know, not a whole lot happened. Nothing significant happened. And so the birth of Jesus, now major events begin to happen, and it all starts with the birth of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the forerunner of the Messiah. John the Baptist was foretold by prophecies in the Old Covenant. His birth and life and ministry was a turning point in the history of the Jewish nation and in God's great plan of redemption. John's ministry was powerful. It was foretold by an angel. His birth was foretold by an angel. And his birth was miraculous because Elizabeth was not only barren, but now she was old. Zacharias was unable to speak until John was born because he didn't believe the words of the angel. And John grew up and he shook the Jews and he shook the people in high places with his message of that day. And boy, you could just talk about John the Baptist for a long, long time. But I want to show you something very interesting that Jesus said about him in Luke chapter 7, verse number 24. Luke chapter 7, verse number 24. Did you notice? That struck me just as we were reading the story this morning. Yeah, we all know that the angel said, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Amen. For with God nothing shall be impossible. But it struck me as we were reading that story, the angel said to him, "Do not afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will hear your son." Where is it at? It's the part where it says, the angel in essence said, "She who is called barren." In other words, heaven doesn't call her barren, but she who is called, you know, you guys down here call her barren, but we don't consider her barren. Glory to God. Anyway, here's what Jesus said about John the Baptist. I have to look that up later. Glory to God. Luke 7, verse number 24. When the messenger of John had departed, he, that's Jesus, began to speak to the multitudes concerning John. "What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? And what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garment? Indeed, those who are gorgeously appeared and live in luxury are in king's courts. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, and I say to you, and more than a prophet. This is of whom it is written." This is a prophecy. "Behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before you." Isaiah 43 and Malachi 3:1. "For I say to you," verse 28, "for I say to you, among those born of women, there is no greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." That's a mind-blowing statement. That's a mind-boggling statement there. Other translations said nobody ever born was greater than John the Baptist. But if you're born again and you're in the kingdom of God, if you're the least in the kingdom, you're greater than John. The Amplified Bible says, "I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater in privilege than he." Some translations say, "No greater prophet has ever been born, but the least in the kingdom is greater than he." The Message Bible says, "Let me lay it out for you as plainly as I can. No one in history surpasses John the Baptizer, but in the kingdom he prepared for you, the lowest person is ahead of him." Well, that's all of you. That's me. We're greater than any Old Testament personality and person in our position because of our position in Christ and because of our privileges in Christ. See, they couldn't be born again yet. You couldn't be born again until Jesus made the sacrifice. Their sins were covered. Our sins aren't just covered or hidden. Our sins are wiped out and washed away by the blood of the Lamb. There's nothing greater than that. Amen. We're born again, new creatures in Christ Jesus. Our old spiritual nature is dead, and we're spiritually alive. Glory to God. 2 Peter 4:1 says we are partakers of His divine nature, the very life of God. It's called Zoe in the Greek, the life of God, the nature of God, the light of God, the love of God is on the inside of us in our born again, recreated human spirit. We're born from above. Amen. Romans 8 says we are children of God. In the Old Testament, they were servants of God, but we are children of God and joint heirs. You're an heir. You're an heir. Amen. There's John. There's Caleb. Whatever's left of me, they're going to get when I move on. Praise God. By the way, my $550,000 insurance policy is about to run out, you know, and this is the last time I'll ever get one of those. So, you know, you guys better pray for my health. Glory to God. Joint heirs with a glorious inheritance. God lives in us by His Spirit. God lives in us by His Spirit. In the Old Testament, God lived in the temple. Only the high priest could go in. Only the high priest, and only once a year, one man, the high priest. Only the high priest could go into the temple, and only once a year. But we, the Bible says, are the temple of the living God. And God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, by His Spirit, lives on the inside of each one of us. Let me put it this way. If you were living in Old Testament times and, you know, you see the Ark of the Covenant and all the movies with the spooky stuff about that, it wouldn't bother you. You could go in there and pick it up and play with Aaron's rod that budded if it still was around. You could walk into the Holy of Holies. You'd be well accepted because you walk into the heavenly Holy of Holies anytime you want to. You enter in the name of Jesus and you are accepted in the Beloved because you are righteous and washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. God lives in us. Now, a lot of people don't take advantage of it, but God, the Holy Spirit, lives in you to help you, to empower you, to lead you, to guide you, to counsel you, to comfort you, to teach you, to remind you of things in the past and show you things that you need to know about the future. That's just one thing. Our sins, like I said, are not just covered, they're washed away. We have a better covenant based on better promises. We have the right to use the name of Jesus. And when we use the name of Jesus in faith, it's just like Jesus Himself said it. Oh, I don't think you got that, but... Amen. The reality of all of this is mind-boggling. The reality of this could fill... There's not enough books in the world to write about those few things I just mentioned. But when we know it, and when we believe it, and when we walk in the light of it, it changes everything. Unfortunately, many Christians live far below their kingdom rights and privileges. But truly, 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 the least person in the kingdom has a greater spiritual position with greater spiritual privileges than even John the Baptist, who Jesus said was the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. Matter of fact, the Bible says that we're all kings and priests under our God. Amen. And then I said that was the last one, but I lied because I forgot there's one more. And then Luke 1:42, 1:48, I'll do this. Well, Luke 1:42, Luke 1:48, and the angel himself, they all say, in essence, we will look at it, but they all say that Mary was blessed. Certainly she was blessed to be the young woman chosen to give birth to the Son of God. She was blessed. Say, man. Say, everybody say, man, Mary was blessed. Amen. Amen. Chosen to give birth. But you know, you have to understand this. She never sought to be magnified above other human beings, and she certainly never desired and is certainly not to be worshipped or deified. She was a sinner like the rest of us that needed to be saved by a Savior. But watch this. Again in Luke chapter 11, verse 27, everybody say Mary was blessed. Certainly she was. And she said, all generations shall call me blessed, and certainly they do. But in Luke chapter 11, verse number 27, and it happened as he spoke these things, a certain woman, boy, she just couldn't contain herself. She just screamed out right in the middle of Jesus' teaching. And it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised a voice and said, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast that which nursed you. But he said, that's Jesus, rather, or more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Glory to God. Rather means on the contrary. Most modern translations say, Jesus was necessary, yeah, but more blessed. You're more blessed. She was blessed and she is blessed, but you're more blessed if you hear the word of God and keep it. Now, if you hear a bunch of religious tradition and man-made rules and regulations and a bunch of stuff that's unbiblical and keep that, I don't care how religious you are. You can keep it to the letter of the law or try to, just like a Pharisee, but that won't cause you to be blessed. But when you hear the true reality, when you hear the word of the living God, because you have to hear it before you can do it, but when you hear it and then you practice it, when you obey it, when you act on it, live by it in daily living, then Jesus himself said, you're more blessed than Mary. Praise God. I said, praise God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Greater than John and more blessed than Mary. Whoa, son. It don't get much better than that, does it? It don't get any better than that. That's why it's called the gospel, the too good to be true news. But it is true. It is true. Andrew Womack says in his commentary, talking about Mary, he said she was certainly blessed to be chosen as the mother of the Son of God. But anyone, man or woman, who keeps the word of God is even more blessed than she was. I saw where Doug Clark, there's Brother Doug right there. He put on Facebook this morning a post by E.W. Kenyon, and it's about being a doer of the word. This is a good place for that. He said, we become Christ-like in the measure that the word of God prevails in us. The mind is renewed by studying the word and by acting upon it. One may study the word for years, but if he does not act it, live it, is not a doer, the mind is not renewed. James gives us the secret in James 1:22. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Many Bible students are deceiving themselves because they are not acting, living, doing the word. It is not only committing the word to memory, which is valuable, but it's letting the word become an integral part of our beings. It must live in us. You understand that the mind cannot be renewed by the study of the word. There must be a continual practice of the word. The word must live in me so that it becomes a part of me. Just as my blood is a part of me, just as my muscles are a part of me, the word must become a part of my very being. The one who thinks that knowledge is all that is necessary will fail. The one who thinks that knowledge is all that is necessary will fail. It is the doer of the word, the man who practices it, lives it, walks in it, and builds it into his own life whom God honors. There is a grave danger of deluding our own selves. We know the word. We may be familiar with the original Greek or Hebrew. We may know the history of the word. But all that is wasted energy if we do not live the word and practice it. Well, that's good advice, isn't it? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, we are highly favored. Say, I'm highly favored. Blessed by God. We have a greater spiritual position with greater privileges than even John the Baptist. And when we practice the word we hear, we're more blessed than Mary. Amen. And it's all because of Jesus. The Christmas story is Jesus was born to die on the cross as our Savior. Dare to believe all that He did to you. Dare to believe it. Boldly claim your rightful place in Christ Jesus. Boldly step out in faith and expect God to honor your words and honor your faith. And when you do that, like the angel told Mary, then with God, nothing will be impossible to you. Say that, with God.
With God.
Nothing is impossible to me. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, lift your hands and praise God a second there. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah, would you come up here? Glory to God. Amen. Come up here. Turn around and let everybody see you. You're looking at a soon-to-be Marine. I guess he's already joined.
Yeah.
And you go and when?
January 18th.
January 18th, going to Paris Island. Anybody ever been to Paris Island? Anybody ever served there in the Marine? Amen. Paris Island. Glory to God. I just had in my heart that we should pray for you. Let me turn around. Amen. Anybody wants to pray over him, say anything to him, come on up here and pray over him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Turn that microphone on for us there, Pastor John. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's all right. That's all right. That's fine. That's fine. Anybody wants to pray over him? Anybody in the former military? You don't have to come, but if you want to, come. Glory to God. Amen. Stick up your spiritual antenna. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord God. Blessed be the... Come up here. This is youth pastor. Come over here to our brother Tony. Lay your hands on him. Just start us in the prayer, Tony. Whatever you want to say, we'll go from there.
Father, I just thank you. I thank you for this young man. I thank you for his commitment,
Father,
to go and serve our country. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, that that you look after him.
Yes.
That you protect him.
Watch over him.
That you, yes, watch over him. Keep him out of harm's way, Lord. Keep him free from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all men have the faith. And Lord, I just pray that you will guide and direct him into the area that he needs to go into, Father God, the area where he can best benefit
you
and fulfill and follow your plan for his life, Father God. I thank you, Lord. I thank you that you keep him out of harm's way. And Lord, I thank you, Father God. I just can't say enough. I thank you for him and his commitment, and his, your hand of protection is upon him wherever he goes, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Perfect, Tony. Perfect. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. We surround him with love and faith. Glory to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Isaiah, I believe the Lord would say there's things to forget and there's things to remember. Remember who you are in Christ. Remember who your God is. Remember who your Savior is. Remember the living Word of the living God that lives in you mightily. And forget anything that would say, oh, you can't do that.
Yes.
Forget anything that would say you're not good enough. Forget anything that would say, who do you think you are? And remember, you are a child of the living God, filled with the mighty Spirit of God, and can do all things through him that strengthens you. That's who you think you are. Remember and forget.
Amen. Amen. Hey, Cobra Powell can do it, you can do it.
That's right.
From the halls of Montezuma. You have to watch Andy Griffith, I guess. Amen. Say, I can do all things through Christ.
I can do all things through Christ.
Who strengthens me.
I can overcome all things
victoriously through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
I don't normally talk, so I'm going to choke up here. I used to fight wildfires out west, and there was a verse that got me through a lot of 18-hour days of beating the dirt. And try looking it up. I can't remember it off the top of my head right now. It's my strength will rise like the eagles.
Yes.
You're going to go through a lot. You'd be surprised what you can get through when you have God helping you get through it. Just remember that.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Ben. Anybody else? Anybody else? Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Let's all stand together. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you accepted in the beloved this morning? Are you righteous? Have your sins been washed away? Do you know that 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 if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Amen. It's easy to know. those that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior are born again. Glory to God. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. If you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior and you want to be saved this morning, to be saved, you have to say, I realize I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And I come to you, Lord, to repent of my sins and to invite Jesus into my heart and to make Him the Lord of my life. If that's you, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I'm not going to call you to the front, just going to pray with you right where you're standing. If you want to be saved, if you want to be born again, if you want to take Jesus as your Lord and Savior, lift your hand high for me, please. Let me pray for you. Glory to God. Or if you hear this word, you say, well, I know I'm accepted in the beloved. I know I'm a Christian legally, you know, in the mind of God, but I haven't been very acceptable. I'm accepted, but my behavior hasn't been acceptable because I hadn't been walking with the Lord like I should. And, you know, as a believer, the Word of God says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from any unrighteousness and all unrighteousness. So as a believer, if you're like the prodigal of old and need to come back to the Lord or, you know, and make sure that you're, as a believer, that you're walking in the light. Amen. You're born again. You're His, but you don't have fellowship with Him. If that's you, lift your hand so that I can pray with you. Anyone on that measure? Praise God. Praise God. So everybody say it out loud again. Say, I'm born again. I'm forgiven. Lord, any place I've missed it. Come on, because we're helping others pray. Any place I've missed it, I ask you to forgive me. And I believe that you do. And I thank you that you do. And I'm walking in the light. And thank you for the Holy Spirit of God who empowers me and enables me to live a life that's pleasing to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Well, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. We love you so much. I know we see different people, and I'll be gone myself a little bit during the Christmas season, New Year, so forth. But we love you so much, and we're so glad for you and so thankful for you. And we believe that the best is yet to come. Amen. Amen. And that we will not fear. We will not fear. No matter what's going on in the earth, we will not fear. Can you say amen? Amen. Turn to somebody before you're dismissed and say, Merry Christmas, and I am not afraid. Praise God. And you're dismissed. Thank you, Lord.